sermon today, I felt like God was calling me to say, to ask you guys if there was anybody here that needed any prayer for, like, that was loss, experienced loss this past year, was ready for a season change. I know 2020 has been one of those unusual years for sure. But is there anybody that would just like to have us pray over them, or like I said, that, you know, this loss, something, a season change that they're looking for? Anybody want to raise their hands on this one? Gianna, okay. Anybody else? Cool. So let's, of those that are next to Gianna, let's lay their hands on her. And we just want to say that this is a spirit. I'm not just praying this for, you know, just for fun, but this, I just feel like there's a spirit of breakthrough that's coming. There is a season for change, that we're going to replace this with, you know, fear, this replace fear with love, power, and discipline. Where there's the season of sickness and isolation, we're going to replace this. So go ahead and let's just pray over this now. The season of loss ends today, Lord. The season of remorse ends today. The season of indebtedness ends today. We pronounce jubilee, Lord. We pronounce great joy and great increase. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good. I know the Lord can turn it around. So today we'll be in Isaiah chapter 9. So I'll turn there. So let's go ahead and start it off. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. All right, so light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You think there's a little bit of light of darkness right now? Probably could use a little bit of light. I think so. There's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, who can you trust? You know, some people are saying something, some people are saying others. You know, when I talk to my mom, my mom always says, well, what is this person's credentials? Or how do you know about this person? I said, well, Mom, sometimes that's not even coming true anymore. You know, you can't really take all this people with credentials on face value. And so what Jesus is doing here when he says, you know, when, through Isaiah, he's saying the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. He's saying, hey, I'm coming and I'm bringing this new operating system for your minds to work on. You've been just kind of stumbling around in darkness, not knowing the true light, the truth, but I'm coming. I'm bringing my spirit, my new operating system that will help you, allows us to process truth. Because before then, before Jesus came, you know, people could process truth, but they were always being, you know, tricked into, you know, the devil's schemes and temptations and his schemes, his frauds, whatever maybe. And now we have this new operating system that Jesus has given us by coming on this earth. He says, I'm bringing redemption of sins. You're getting rid of all this stuff. And before you couldn't process truth, but now you can. And so we really just couldn't understand truth. Jesus said that he is the light and that the Holy Spirit is the comforter and teacher, that he will guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I just love that verse in Psalms, you know, in the Good Shepherd Psalm. He will guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That, you know, when we come to together as a church, what's so important is that not only does Jesus give us this light, that he is the light, but he also allows us to be that light, to reflect him, and we can burn that light for others. When we get together, you know, the Holy Spirit, what I've noticed is he'll reveal some truths to others and some truths to some other folks. And when we get together, we can really, we compare notes. We say, hey, what did the Holy Spirit reveal to you? Oh, wow, this is really neat. That's cool. And so we look out for each other. And so with Jesus, he brings this new operating system, and then he allows us to look out for each other, because, you know, the devil's still out there. He's still bringing all his, you know, crazy, you know, lies and schemes, whether it be, you know, oh, you guys were created from amoebas and then eventually apes, or, you know, the earth is flat, you can't go too far, otherwise you'll fall off the ocean, there's sea monsters, don't go there. You know, there is, oh, you know, life begins at birth, it really doesn't begin at conception. That was another one he's done. Oh, the earth is a billion years old, or the universe is a jillion years old. There's other ones out there. But he's always throwing out all these things. But what God is doing when he's on this Christmas season is, hey, he's saying, I've got a new operating system. And by the way, when you all get together, you can compare notes, because sometimes I reveal something to one person and then something else to another. And it's just awesome. And so when Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm bringing the light, and I'm bringing this light for you. But also he said that he was going to bring John the Baptist, who was going to bear witness to the light. In this Christmas story in John 1, we are introduced to John the Baptist. John 1:6 says that John the Baptist bore witness to the light that all may believe, that Jesus was the true light which gives light to every man in the world. John 1:6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming to the world. So not only is Jesus bringing the light, he says, I am the light. But he allows us to reflect that light and to show others this. But also, he's asking us to bear witness for him, just like John was, to bear witness to the light, to tell others about what Jesus is. And that's really what John the Baptist was all about. All right, I think I skipped the slide. Isaiah 9:3 says, you have multiplied the nations and increased its joy. You have rejoiced; they have rejoiced before you, according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. So another great benefit we have when Jesus came to the earth is joy. You know, it's like being with Jesus is kind of like winning the lottery every day, or winning the Reader's Digest, or Ed McMahon Century 21. What was the Publisher's Clearinghouse? Yeah, you know, I want Publisher's Clearinghouse. I know I'm really old. but, you know, it's just amazing. And he brings joy. That Jesus, after, you know, conception, lightens the heart for everybody who is born. And we are witnesses to people about the Lord, remembering who he is and what he's done for us. You know, in Psalm 16:11, it says, you'll make known to me the paths of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forever. And so being with Jesus, it's like we just get that joy in our hearts, that every person in this planet gets that joy. Now, whether they have Jesus in their heart and it's activated, but they have this in their heart. So when we come and we witness to people about Jesus, we tell them all the great things he's doing for us, we're just watering that seed that's already there. That seed's already been planted for every person on this planet. Now, whether they act upon it, whether there's good soil, that's up to them. But this is something that Jesus has given us to be this witness for us. It's kind of like just, you know, like that when this happens, it's like that bumper crop, or that sense that you profited well, this feeling that you have in his presence, that he just gives and gives and gives. Keeping on, Isaiah 9:6-7, it says, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice. For that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Wow. It says here, that, you know, unto us a child is born, that the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. You know, he says that, hey, the entire government is going to rest on his shoulders. Isn't that an amazing thing? And I think about all the craziness we have in our governments today, as well as governments that are around the world. You've got, governments that are doing these things, and some are good, some are bad. And he's saying that, hey, with me, I'm going to take all this upon my shoulders, that the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isn't it interesting that the Son of God would also be called Eternal Father? You see, Jesus' assignment on earth was to reveal the Father. You know, you think about it, we're kind of like we almost live like on an orphan planet. Think about it. We had fellowship in the garden with God, and then we sinned and we were separated. So we're kind of like orphans, you think about it. And what do orphans do? You know, orphans, if you had, you know, some of us have had foster kids and orphans, but orphans, when it comes, they're like, hey, they're, you know, that, especially around dinner time, you know, extreme cases, they're like, they just hoard food or hoard this, and whatever the case may be. And there's like, no, there's plenty. There's always more there. And that's how, you know, people here on the earth are. They don't have Jesus in their heart. It's just like they're orphaned. They don't have the God of Jesus Christ in their hearts. And so they just don't understand that they're part of something bigger. And so that there's some things that which we can't accomplish without the zeal of God, and that his government just rests on his shoulders, that you just never earn it. So that's what he's talking about with the government resting on his shoulders. It's just this kingdom of grace. It's this this promise. So what does this mean? That he reigns over everything. Just give it to him, that he controls it. You ever notice that there has never been a retreat in the kingdom of God? That he doesn't go, oh man, we got thrown back. You know, the devil just took us out today, or that, you know, these people on earth, there's nothing I couldn't overcome that today. No, he's always advancing the kingdom of heaven. So no matter what your failures, no matter what, you know, these things that are broken in your life, this can actually be a launch pad for promotion. That he can overcome it all. That he can overcome these lockdowns and these pandemics, and he can overcome, you know, the mask, and he can overcome all these things that are out there, that he is truly over it all, that his government has no end, that his peace is without end. So let's look at a good example of this when Jesus visited Mary in Luke 1, verses 28 through 32. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." All right, so here we go. I tell you what, if an angel visited me like this, I would be probably a little bit more than troubled. I'd probably need a change of clothing or something like it. But here it is. The angel shows up and says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, for the Lord is with you." That Mary had such an imprint on God, that her heart was so right, that the angel immediately comes to her and greets her with that. It says, highly favored one. You know, we look at, you know, the angel references the throne of David, that David so influenced God, so had a move on God's heart, that he decided to make his son, Jesus Christ, bear the name that he was the son of David, that he would sit on the throne of David. That's how much that David had a move of God, with his psalms in his heart. And it says, you know, and also we look at Mary, you know, he didn't choose the people that were in the temple. He didn't choose that, you know, the wife of the chief priest or any of the stuff. He didn't choose that. He chose Mary. And the reason he chose Mary, one of the reasons, I think, is her heart was so tender to God that only she could have written through the Holy Spirit, through the Magnificat. That's later in Luke 1, where she just praises God and says, how you have chosen me, you have, you know, looked on favor with me, that you would have picked the lowliest of bondservants to exalt me in this time. And so we have David and another person that moved God's heart was the Roman centurion. You remember that in Luke 7:9, his servant was ill, and Jesus said the centurion said, "If you say the word, my servant will be healed," because he was a man under authority, and Jesus was. And what did Jesus say? He said, Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and he said, "I've not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So this is another person, the centurion who moved Jesus' heart so much that he proclaimed that he had not seen faith like that in all of Israel. And the last example of someone that has moved people's Jesus' heart was the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with the expensive perfume. In all four Gospels, this miracle, this act is recorded. It made such a mark on God that he recorded this for all eternity, and he says, write that down. That is amazing. This is a keeper. You can mark the heart. You can actually make the heart mark the heart of God. This didn't end back in with Mary's time and Jesus' time. We can still do that today. And that when the kingdom of God comes, sickness goes away. When the kingdom of God comes, injustice goes away. And that we can leave that mark too, just by having a heart for God. All right, let's keep going. So we got to finish the Christmas story. So Luke 2, let's actually get to Jesus being born. In verses 1 through 7, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his town. Okay. So back then, they had oppressive dictatorial governments too. It's not a modern invention. We've seen this, you know, back then, you know, since probably the beginning of time, that in this case, it was the Roman government who said, all right, everybody's got to move and go to your city of origin, and you have to register there. So nowadays, we have with the census. You go online, or you take a call, or somebody comes to your door before pre-COVID. Back then, it's like, okay, you got to go to your home city. So for me, I'd be going back to Hannibal, Missouri. Some of us here would be going to Kansas. Some of us here could be, Arizona. Who knows? But, wherever you're from, you got to go, and you got to go register. So instead of filling out a form online, you're on a, in this case, it was a donkey. Imagine that, having to ride a donkey all the way back to Missouri, which would be 1,400 miles. For Mary and Joseph, this was 70 miles. And this wasn't like, there wasn't, like 7-Elevens and Circle K's and Shell gas stations, and there wasn't McDonald's or Subway or anything like this. You just brought like bread and water. That's it. You didn't have anything. So he's like, okay, everybody got to register because I'm going to tax you. Starting verse 3, it says, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out from the city of Nazareth into Judah. To the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Wow. Can you imagine trying to take a 70-mile donkey ride when you're 8 months pregnant? That would be pretty, pretty tough. Not just for Mary, but for Joseph, too, trying to navigate this thing. I mean, that was hard on everybody. I just find it amazing that Jesus identifies with us. He didn't come to us in a mansion, but he came to us in a feeding trough. That he identifies with us. That he came clothed, strips and rags. That's swaddling clothes. It's nothing more than just strips of cloth. Nothing fancy. That he picked two unlikely people to be, the earthly mother and the foster father of Jesus there, and he picked this. That he identifies with this. He came from the throne of heaven. He's the God. He's the God of the universe. That he sets everything in motion. He sustains everything. He had legions of angels that would obey his every command, and that sustainer and creator of the universe decided to be born in some of the lowest conditions. For God exalts the humble and brings down the proud. For thousands of years, the Jews have been preparing and praying for this day. And there were hundreds of prophecies about Jesus being born and where he would be. And they knew that, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and that he would not be someone that had great stature, that he would be lowly. He would be the shoot of Jesse from that stump. There and there was all these people that were just longing for this. It says that the prophets back then in the Old Testament times before Jesus came just longed to see this event. And it just happened just so matter of fact there in the first, in those first seven verses there. It's just amazing. So how did God announce the birth of Messiah? Oh, this is where the angels come into play. So now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock, their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The shepherds were in a posture to receive. The shepherds were in a posture to receive the visitation of the Lord. They were working the fields. Most likely, these were the shepherds that tended the sheep and the lamb that were used in the temple for sacrifice and all that. Most likely, they were taking care of those lambs for the temple sacrifices. They were the lowest rungs of society, nothing special. They weren't, you know, Romans. They weren't temple officials. They weren't the wealthy back then. They weren't mercantile folks. They were just poor shepherds. A lot of times, kids would be shepherds. And you can see here the angels just didn't come. They just came in legions. They just filled the entire sky. And they told them, you know, that Jesus was born. So in verse 10, then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you, that you will find a babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Finally, the Savior has arrived. You know, we get that, you know, we can have reconciliation of our sins, that we can just give our sins and things, all that stuff to him, and he takes it, and he gives us in exchange his love, his mercy, his operating system, that we can, you know, clearly see what the world is, and that we can, you know, process truth, that, you know, it's sin is finally dealt with. You know, that if we, I've always, you know, as an engineer, a chemical engineer, we have symbols, it's called a fire hazard symbol, fire diamond, we put on hazardous chemicals. And, you know, if it has fours on it, that's really, really hazardous for all the characteristics. If you had a fire diamond, a hazardous diamond for sin, it would be, you know, infinity. This stuff is just the most corrosive, dangerous, horrible substance in the world. It can just plow through anything. The sins can go and affect generations after us, as well as us right now. And it has no bounds. I can sin, and this sin can just reverberate off me and just bounce around this room and affect my kids. It could affect you all. It's the most corrosive thing in the world. And Jesus came, and finally we had a path. We finally have a way to deal with this. Because in Old Testament times, all they had were the animal sacrifices. They just covered it up. It was never dealt with. And finally we had a Savior, someone that could just take care of our sins, that we could just, here, this massive exchange. I exchange all my sin for you, and in return, I get your awesome operating system. It's just amazing. What a great deal. Going on in verse 15, "So it was then that the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." So the shepherds, what? They heard this, and what did they do? They immediately went to see the Christ child. They didn't go look at their calendar and go, okay, I can fit you in from, you know, like 1 a.m. to 2 a.m, or, oh, I can do this maybe on Wednesday or this week. No, they immediately went. And that's why God revealed to them, because they didn't have presuppositions. They had their sheep, and they were supposed to take care of them, but you know what? They left it all. And that's what we're called to do. If we want to encounter God, if we want to have these great experiences, then God's going to ask us to come and clear our calendar and say, it's yours. And that's what the shepherds did, because they didn't have any standing in the world. They didn't have they weren't the most important, and so they had hearts that were readily available for this. Moving on to verse 17. "Now when they had seen him," being Jesus, "they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds." So the shepherds came, they saw the Christ child. What did they do? They said, okay, we're going to tell everybody. We're going to witness. That's what we're calling it. That's what John the Baptist was. He was the great forerunner. That's why when we get the light of Christ in our hearts, we should share it with another. For the Lord says, for we are a city set on a hill, a light unto the darkness. That who puts a basket over a light? No, they put it on a lampstand. It gives light to all of those in the house. And so we are there to give this witness to everybody, just like the shepherds did. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told of them. So what did Mary do? She thought on these things. I don't think she really understood what was going on at that moment. Like, wow, this had, like the Son of God. What does this really mean? I know she had no idea about the cross. She had no idea that she's going to have to pick up her bags and go to Egypt because Herod was going to, and his government was going to come after him. And so she just pondered these things and she just took them in. And what did the shepherds do? They returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. What a great start of Christ's birth. And so it was just amazing. And they told whoever and whatever about it. You know, there were still a lot of hard things that Mary was going to have to deal with, Mary and Joseph. You know, that Herod was going to, the three kings were going to come, and or the Magi, we don't know if it's three. The Magi came and told Herod about Jesus being born. And what was his response? Messiah. Let's kill him. That's what a terrible response. So they had bad governments back then. But you know what? God says, you know what? The my realm of government and peace will keep expanding. And he didn't have any problems with that. So what did God do? He came, he sent his angels to Mary and Joseph and said, hey, you have to go to Egypt for those that want to do harm to the Son of God. And so we have that opportunity today. We can be light to those that are in darkness. We can bring God's operating system to others. We can witness to this. We can say, hey, look what God has done in my life. Look what the miracles that he's done. Look what he's provided. Look at all the things that, you know, that I'm able to operate in truth and light and not have to be shackled in sin and darkness. All right, so let's go ahead and I'll go ahead and close prayer. If there's anybody that has any prayer requests that needs, prophecy, words of knowledge, some healing, just a counselor, myself and Jeff, our two elders will definitely pray over you that day, today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that you sent your Son. That, hallelujah, he is here and he is here to take away our sins, Lord. I just thank you for that. Just to be able to make this great exchange, Lord, that you have given to us, Lord. I just stand in awe and I'm just, I just say hallelujah, praise God that you are here. I just pray over these folks here to give them a good week. I pray for those that are out amongst us that are in various activities right now. I just pray for their safety. I pray for traveling mercies for all those that are going to be moving about this holiday season. And I just pray for peace upon everybody's house today. Lord, I just pray for peace and mercy and just, fun, a spirit of joy to come and permeate everyone's house this holiday season. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. If anybody needs prayer, we're certainly available. So you're all dismissed and potluck.